Welcome, and once again, you are invited to attend to Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 Community Radio in your city with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson. And you know the pattern of our shows in this third series, don't you? We wander around various topics, usually literary, with me helping to bring them to life, and then we close with a section of Whitman's Song of Myself. This evening, Under Lamplight, I want to present you a more musical program. We had a very heavy program last time, and so we thought we'd lighten it up a little bit now. Now, I've never really had a show dedicated to love, but this is a theme appropriate to our Whitman reading, so let's spend some time attending to songs about love. There are plenty to choose from, of course. And I'm sorry if we don't attend to your favorite love songs here. It's a miscellaneous selection that follows, but I hope you'll follow along with me and engage with these songs. And let's start off with some AM radio hits. I've always loved Frankie Lyman, and I remember the time I visited friends in New York in the hot, steamy summertime. They were students at Columbia and had a cheap flat several floors up in Harlem. We lay around in the heat, just in our underwear. No air conditioning, no thought even of the possibility of air conditioning in that place. The windows were wide open. All the evening street noises came up. Sirens, mostly, and people shouting. But then came these three voices, singing together Frankie Lyman's Why Do Fools Fall in Love? It was full of energy and had all the power of amateur street singers enjoying themselves. But it wasn't the same as the original song by Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. The song was a hit in 1956, when Frankie was just 14. It's a pretty silly song. Why do birds sing so gay, and lovers await the break of day? Why does the rain fall from up above? Why do fools fall in love? Yep, good questions. But we forget about the words as soon as Frankie sings, holding so many notes so long as though dancing on air. And there's the obligatory sax solo in the middle. Here, see what I mean. Let's move over to another teenage idol, Michael Jackson. I never followed Michael Jackson much when he went solo. His song Ben was enough to put me off for life. But I was one of the first to buy the Jackson 5's first album, ABC. Actually, the only one I knew who bought the album. And I got a very condescending stare from the hip guy in the record store who thought I had better taste than that. What made me buy it? I don't know. I must have heard one of the songs on the radio and felt the energy. The Love You Save warns the girl that she's going too fast. She'd better slow down and save her reputation. What he means is that she'd better stop running around with those other guys who talk about her and turn her name to dirt, and she'd better come home back to him, who's her true love. We get a play on the supreme stop in the name of love, and on the roadside caution, the life you save may be your own. Good old Motown, who loved to take a cliché, twist it around, and squeeze one little bit of life out of it. But like the Frankie Lymon song, the words don't matter as soon as the music hits us. I wish I could speak intelligently about the music, the syncopation, the variations in tempo, the harmonies, but I can only point you to it and to the vibrant interplay between Michael Jackson, only 12 years old when the song came out in 1970, and Jermaine Jackson, all of 16. Stop. Don't you love that surprise violin climax at the end? Well, I must have had great fun recording that. I hope they did. Otherwise, those kids were just poor, oppressed kids making money for the big company. Well, continuing with the teenage love song, here's a song from the Mothers of Invention, posing as an obscure California doo-wop group called Reuben and the Jets. As we would expect from the Mothers of Invention, we're given a mock-up of the stupid commercial AM radio love song. But there's also a love of this music, which the band members had grown up with. That's what gives the song its charm. This loving mockery, or mocking love, from a radical avant-garde band that partly envied the success of such popular songs as they were ripping apart, or ripping off. Here's Fountain of Love, from the album Cruising with Reuben and the Jets, including Ray Collins in the Frankie Lyman, Michael Jackson falsetto.
Fountain of Love! 1, 2...
It was September, the leaves were gold. That's when our hearts knew that story untold.
We were young lovers, falling near the fountain of love. Fountain of love, fountain of love, fountain of love.
Do you remember? I held you so near. Our love's glowing amber,
so precious and dear.
Since that day, our hearts have been joined. So all you young lovers, wherever you are, the fountain of love is not very far. We'll go on dreaming of that golden day. Is not far away.
We were young lovers, falling near the fountain of love.
We made a wish and threw in a coin. And since that day, our hearts have been joined. So all you young lovers, wherever you are, the fountain of love is not very far.
Just remember, all you young lovers, whoever you are, the fountain of love is not very far. But there are more mature, high-pitched voices. I have in mind particularly Smokey Robinson, who was my great favorite in high school. With Smokey's songs, we attend to both the voice, with its vibrato sustained notes, and to the words, which are usually corny, but corny in a very elegant way. It takes chutzpah to play with notes and words the way Smokey does. I'm hoping, too, that maybe you will need an understanding shoulder you can cry on, you can rely on when you're blue. This is no fiction. This is no pact. This is real. It's fact. My love for you is so sound, it would take about 100 lifetimes to wear it down. I'll be beside you every step of the way, a heart that's truthful and keeping you youthful. Here's a few more. The closer you come, you make me feel all numb. Love couldn't possibly be anything you are not. I know that love couldn't possibly have anything you haven't got. I could go on all day with these little smoky isms. And with a bit of chutzpah ourselves, we're going to throw ourselves into a triple play. Three back-to-back songs by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, My Love for You, More Love, and You Must Be Love.
Thank you.
It on in back from this triple dose of Smokey Robinson on Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105 with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson. All right, here's another Motown love song from the Temptations 1967 album with a lot of soul. That's O apostrophe, lot O soul, like some item on a fast food menu. This was the only record album I ever wore out. I think this album is the pinnacle of Motown musical arrangement. This song, Two Sides to Love, is a sweet, comforting song with Eddie Kendricks taking the lead, sounding more vulnerable and sincere than David Ruffin, who usually was given the lead. It's one of those songs in which the girl has had a bad experience of love, but the singer assures her that his love is true and will show her what love's really about. I think such things really do work out sometimes in real life. I'm half afraid that I listened to the song so much when I was young that I can no longer really hear it fresh, though I try. I played it recently, though, for a student who said he loved Motown songs of the 60s, but he'd never heard this album, and he was overcome by the beauty of it. So I hope you may be, too.
True to you, and it broke your little heart. He loved you, then he left you, confused, misused, and in the dark. Won't you let me walk into your world of darkness and confusion? Let me show you there's another side to love that's more than a sweet illusion. You just believe, just believe. You'll find there's two sides to the love, and what you experienced wasn't the real thing. 'Cause true love is an emotion that can soothe your very soul. It brings joy. Open your heart, stretch out your arms, let love and love. And all my love is so true, it won't make you blue. Cause true love won't bring troubles, it would fade your troubles away. It would melt every dark cloud in your life and make room for a brighter day. It's two sides of love. Let me show you the other side. What you say.
Oh, okay, and one more Motown song while we're here. I can't resist, including Tammy Terrell's first hit, I Can't Believe You Love Me. She later became better known for her duets with Marvin Gaye, but I've always gone for these earlier songs. And let's not forget that although appearing on the Sound of Detroit Motown label, Tammy was a Philadelphia girl. And as you may know, Evening Under Lamplight is the voice of Philadelphia chauvinism in Cambridge. But it's not my voice, but Tammy's voice that we need to attend to here, both silky and rough. But attend more, well, you can't really miss it, to the bass line, always prominent in Motown songs, but here it becomes almost the lead voice. Now let's modulate from this sort of love song to some songs with a little more weight. Prayerful love, we might say. Listen to Otis Redding's Lover's Prayer next. The situation is commonplace. His woman has left and he's pleading, praying to her to come back. But the weight of the song comes from Otis's voice, so agonized, exhausting himself in his anguish, while the instruments sustain and increase the emotional intensity.
This is my lover's prayer. I hope it'll reach out to you, my love. This is
Now, to break from all this emotional heaviness, here's a lighter song from Donovan. It's an obscure song called Preachin' Love, again with the apostrophe, Preachin' Love, belonging to the period when Donovan was fully into the jazzy syncopation. He comes onto stage in his hippie gown, surrounded by flowers, gives us some of his hallucinatory songs, and then hits us with this song. Not much memorable in the words, I think, although there's a kind of jazzy playfulness in lines like, I feel so exhilarated. He won't say exhilarated. He's got to syncopate it. I feel so exhilarated, in love with love with love. I'm never expurgated. I just can't tell you enough. But it's the exuberance and enjoyment of the music that cleanses the palate. There's a shorter studio version, but here's the version live from In Concert.
I'm preaching love straight from above. I know it's over too, yes I do. Well, I'm breathing love straight from above. I mean that over what I said. Well, I understand my congregation is made up of the finest sex. Well, I don't abide with segregation. Anyone may read the text. All I do, study you in your natural habitat. And as I do, I find that you are all worth saving of that. Gather round the world and listen. Life is love is life. And when you see the teardrops glisten, I learn from trouble and strive. Well, I like to be beside the sea, dig where we came or what for. Well, I think that we were meant to be. That is all I ever saw. I feel so exhilarated, yeah, in love with love with love. I'm never expurgated. I just can't tell you enough. That's right. We'll be right back. can love straight from above. I mean not to be heard what I said. While I'm breathing love straight from above, I mean not to be true what I do. While I understand my congregation is made up of the finest sex. Well, I don't abide with segregation. And when we read the text, oh, well, I like to be beside the sea, digging where we came and what for. Well, I think that we were meant to be. That is all I ever saw. I feel so exhilarated, yeah, in love with love with love. I'm never expurgated, I just can't tell you enough. Preaching love, preaching love, preaching love, preaching love, preaching love, preaching love. I know it's a bit true, yes I do.
One more song, and then we move on to Whitman. There are so many songs about love, of course, and this is one of the reasons I think I've not chosen love as our theme on past shows. We're always bound to leave out everyone's favourites. But we're attending to several more obscure songs, as we often do, and we'll move on to a song from what, for many people, is Bob Dylan's obscure period. Let's attend to Shot of Love. Because the song comes from Dylan's Born Again period, people turn away, but the song is actually as exciting and sparkling as any of Dylan's best, treating love as an addiction, a healthful addiction we always need another shot of in our fallen, diseased world. Just listen to the opening image coming after an arresting gospel cry of "I need a shot of love." It's the cry here of a homeless addict, calling out from the filth of his situation. Don't need a shot of heroin to kill my disease. Don't need a shot of turpentine, only bring me to my knees. Don't need a shot of codeine to help me repent. Don't need a shot of whiskey to help me be president. I need a shot of love. If all evangelism could be this witty and intelligent and exciting. Why would I want to take your life? You've only murdered my father, raped his wife, tattooed my babies with a poison pen, mocked my God, humiliated my friends. Or another image of desolation. What makes the wind want to blow tonight? Don't even feel like crossing the street, and my car ain't acting right. Called home, everybody seemed to have moved away. My conscience is beginning to bother me today. All you need, man, is that shot of love.
I need a shot of love. I need a shot of love. Don't need a shot of heroin to kill my disease. Need a shot of turpentine, only bring me to my knees. Don't need a shot of codeine to help me to repent. Whiskey, help me be president. I need a shot.
Now you get the point. We need love. But you knew that, of course. And now let's move on to the final segment in the show, our evening with the photograph album of Walt Whitman's Song of Myself. We're up to the fifth section of the poem this evening under lamplight. As usual, we begin just reading the section. I believe in you, my soul. The other I am must not abase itself to you, and you must not be abased to the other. Loaf with me on the grass. Loose the stop from your throat. Not words, not music or rhyme I want. Not custom or lecture, not even the best. Only the lull I like, the hum of your valved voice. I mind how we lay in June, such a transparent summer morning. You settled your head athwart my hips and gently turned over upon me, and parted the shirt from my bosom bone, and plunged your tongue to my bare-stripped heart, and reached till you felt my beard, and reached till you held my feet. Swiftly arose and spread around me the peace and joy and knowledge that pass all the art and argument of the earth. And I know that the hand of God is the elder hand of my own. And I know that the Spirit of God is the eldest brother of my own. And that all the men ever born are also my brothers, and the women my sisters and lovers, and that a kelson of the creation is love, and limitless are leaves stiff or drooping in the fields, and brown ants in the little wells beneath them, and mossy scabs of the worm fence, and heaped stones, and elder, and mullein, and pokeweed. You can see, I think, how this fits into our theme of love this evening. In the previous section of the poem, you will recall, Whitman distinguished all that is not me, myself, from what was his true identity, his soul. And now, it seems, he wants to reconcile the two parts of himself. I believe in you, my soul, he says, but he will not ignore the other I am, that is, his ego self. Neither part of himself is superior to the other. The two must come together as equals, as lovers, in fact. The soul, which stands apart, both in and out of the game, amused, complacent, compassionating, idle, unitary, must unite with the active self, the one that engages with all the things of the world. The two must go together if we are to remain both grounded and connected to higher things. We go back to Whitman's proclamation on the first page of the poem. I loaf and invite my soul. And here he invites the soul to loaf with him on the grass, or perhaps the soul invites the ego self to loaf on the grass. It's not clear, nor does it matter which self invites the other. What matters is that the one self wants to commune with the other self, but not words, not music or rhyme, not custom or lecture, none of our usual channels of communication, but the lull, the hum of that self, its vibes, in other words, which we must feel from deep within us, coming from deep within that other and reaching deep within us. Have you ever experienced this kind of communication? We just try to turn off our reasoning faculty and attend to a message coming to us through our body, through our heart and nerves. And the best way to describe what this is all about, Whitman seems to feel, is by speaking about it as a kind of sexual union, though a very odd kind of sexual act. He gives the setting as some summer June morning, clear and bright. What happens next comes to us as another one of Whitman's catalogue lists. Here, a list of intimate actions the one self performs on the other. It gets a little steamy, as we might expect with this outdoor summer lovemaking. You settled your head athwart my hips, and gently turned over upon me, and parted the shirt from my bosom bone, and plunged your tongue into my bare-stripped heart. This is the sort of stuff that got Whitman banned. It's like some sort of game provoking the straight-laced reader, but it's not the language of pornography, though the lover's head is at the hips and the lover turns over onto me. Gently the lover opens my shirt, but no, the language keeps us too alert for this to be pornography, which relies on clichés. The lover gently opens my shirt, but that's not how Whitman puts it. The lover parts the shirt from my bosom bone, not even the more usual breastbone. And my lover plunges his, her, tongue, not into my waiting mouth in a kiss or into any other sexual part of me, but to my bare, stripped heart. This is the language of mystics, who sometimes speak of their ecstasy as having their chest cut open and God writing his name on the heart. And the scene becomes even more grotesque, like some sort of cartoon gone wild. The lover reaches down inside me till you felt my beard and reached till you held my feet. And what comes next is not some sort of passionate orgasm, but a kind of spiritual enlightenment, some mystical union with God and then with everyone else. Swiftly arose and spread around me the peace and joy and knowledge that pass all the art and argument of the earth. And I know that the hand of God is the elder hand of my own. And I know that the Spirit of God is the eldest brother of my own. And that all the men ever born are also my brothers, and the women my sisters and lovers. And that a kelson of the creation is love. Maybe everyone in Whitman's time would know what a kelson or keelson was, but we need a dictionary today. A keelson is the timber beam fitted across the hull of a ship to strengthen its structure. Thus Whitman is saying the thing that holds together all of creation is love, the kind of love he has just been describing, which culminates in seeing all people as my brothers and sisters. And not just other people, but all things in creation, as Whitman now shifts us to leaves in the fields and brown ants in the little wells beneath the leaves, and then mossy scabs of the worm fence, that is, the moss growing on the wooden zigzag fences surrounding the fields, and the stones acting as borderlines, and the weeds along the uncultivated edges of the fields, elder and mullein and pokeweed. Whitman, like Thoreau, will never just hand us an abstraction. He could have just said all the aspects of nature. But he selects some very specific concrete details for us to get close to. Even us today, who probably have experience of fields of corn or wheat only as we drive past them at high speed. And that's where Whitman leaves us this week. So let's review this lovely and loving section one more time before we close off. I believe in you, my soul. The other I am must not abase itself to you, and you must not be abased to the other. Loaf with me on the grass. Loose the stop from your throat. Not words, not music or rhyme I want, not custom or lecture, not even the best. Only the lull I like, the hum of your valved voice. I mind how we lay in June such a transparent summer morning. You settled your head athwart my hips and gently turned over upon me and parted the shirt from my bosom bone and plunged your tongue to my bare stripped heart and reached till you felt my beard and reached till you held my feet. Swiftly arose and spread around me the peace and joy and knowledge that pass all the art and argument of the earth. And I know that the hand of God is the elder hand of my own, and I know that the Spirit of God is the eldest brother of my own, and that all the men ever born are also my brothers, and the women my sisters and lovers, and that a kelson of the creation is love. And limitless are leaves stiff or drooping in the fields, and little brown ants in the wells beneath them, and mossy scabs of the worm fence, and heaped stones, and elder, and mullein, and pokeweed. So thank you now for attending this evening to Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105, community radio in your city, with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, looking forward to spending more time with you again next week. And just to remember that there's basically nothing sensible or reasonable about love, we'll go out with Angie Thomas, a mellow and somewhat unstable rendition of Leonard Cohen's song, Crazy to Love You.
To go crazy to love you, had to go down to the pit, had to do time in the tower. Now I'm too tired to quit. Had to go crazy to love you. You who were never the one whom I chased through the souvenir heartache, my braids and my blouse all undone. Sometimes I'd head for the highway. I'm old and the mirrors don't lie, but crazy has places to hide me, deeper than saying goodbye. I had to go crazy to love you. Had to let everything fall. Had to be people I hated. Had to be no one at all. Tired of choosing desire. I've been saved by a blessed fatigue. The gates of commitment unwired. And nobody trying to leave. Sometimes I'd head for the highway. I'm old and the mirrors don't lie, but crazy has places to hide me, deeper than saying goodbye. I had to go crazy to love you. You who were never the one chased through the souvenir heartache, my braids and my blouse all undone.